bowl. I mean, it's just the day when we just need to go all in for God. Amen. And I want to speak to you this morning on Easter's Game of Thrones. Now, when I saw the pastor and I, we didn't know what we were going to preach. We were just going to preach. And I saw that he sent over that he was talking about from the cross to the throne. And then the Lord had already spoke to me about the Game of Thrones and Easter's Game of Thrones. And so I just, it's just amazing how the Lord puts it all together. Amen. And again, we are so thrilled to have all of you here for Easter Sunday. And the Lord is just doing some amazing things here at Westmoreland. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to read Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Would you stand with me as we read one verse of scripture this morning? And once again, those who are watching online, thank you so much for tuning in today. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. You could be at the hospital. Some of you probably need to be in jail. I don't know. Not paying your taxes or something, parking tickets or something, or worse. But you're not in jail. You're not in the hospital. Hey, praise God. Today's a day off for some of us, and we're not at work. Amen. We're at church. Praise God. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. If you're there, say amen. This is talking about Jesus. Read it out loud with me. Out loud, everybody together. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Father, speak to us today. Anoint your servant to preach and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen and amen. As you're seated, since it's Easter, go ahead and tell somebody you're looking pretty this morning. Just go ahead and tell them that. You're looking pretty. God bless you. Thank you. Or handsome, whatever you want to say. Easter's Game of Thrones. Several years ago, a popular cable TV series came to an end after 8 years. And the title of that series was Game of Thrones. Hugely successful. It's based on a book by George R.R. Martin. It's a fantasy novel series. And it became the highest, listen, the highest rated cable TV series of all time. And the main story of that series is around the Iron Throne. The arc of the story is around what is known as the Iron Throne. And the one who sits on the Iron Throne over the seven kingdoms is the ruler of all. And this is set in a fictitional seven kingdoms of Westeros. The series chronicles the violent dynastic struggles among the realm's noble families for control of that Iron Throne. And there's obviously a list of characters who do any and everything they can to maneuver their way. They kill who they need to kill. They do what they've got to do to be crowned to sit upon that Iron Throne. Now, this series is fictitional. But I really believe that on this Easter Sunday that the Game of Thrones, the series is fictitional, but the battle is very much real today. You see, for each one of us, there is an Iron Throne per se. And the occupant of that throne of your heart, that is your king. And the moment that God created man and woman, God himself was meant to sit upon that throne of the heart and to be your king. And no matter who or what sits on the Iron Throne of your heart, rules over you, lays claim to all you have and possess, has your allegiance. And so on this Easter Sunday, we're going to talk about several competitors to the Iron Throne, not of some fictitional story on HBO, but in this room and on this Easter Sunday today. You see, there are many things that are trying to occupy the throne, the Iron Throne of your heart. Number one, I thought about relationships. Relationships. It may get, just a heads up, it may get a little uncomfortable this morning. So get ready. But relationships actually try to occupy the Iron Throne of many people's hearts. And that relationship could be anyone other than God. It could be a boyfriend. It could be a girlfriend. It could be a friend with benefits. It could be an adulterous affair at the office. It could be your exes in Texas. It could be followers on social media. You know, talking about social media and the frenzy with friends and followers and relationships. And it just baffles my mind when I go to Cracker Barrel and I'll look across and I'll see a, and Darna and I have never been blessed to have our own natural born children. And thank God for those that he's allowing us to be a parent to now. But let me tell you something that when we sit at a table and I see mom and dad and I see two kids, it baffles me that they all got their face in that cell phone there. And I'm like, my goodness, if I had a table full of kids and my spouse there, I wouldn't be on the social media. I would be the social media. Amen. I'd keep that thing going. Amen. I'll tell you, people are in, I mean, they have relationships and it could be somebody that has hurt you. Maybe somebody has betrayed you. Maybe you had a spouse to leave you. And maybe because of what they've done to you, you're suicidal. You're not functioning. There's some people who somebody hurt them in church, hurt their feelings in church, and because of that, they have quit going to church or they won't go to church, the preacher or somebody, deacon or somebody. And so what they've allowed is where God should be sitting on the throne as my greatest relationship, because from him comes my affirmation. From him comes my blessing. I mean, when he was on the cross, brother, you were on his mind. Come on. That's relationship right there. And no other boyfriend, girlfriend, ex-spouse, whatever, social media, let no one sit on the iron throne of your life other than the King, the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody give him a hand of praise here this morning. You see, we can't let a relationship, we can't let somebody that we idolize, you know, it could be a legitimate relationship. There are some people that actually allow their family to come ahead of God, and we are to love our family. But I want to tell you something, there is no one, I mean no one, illegitimate or legitimate, that we're to love more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love my mom, and she's in this service this morning, and I love my wife, and I love my family, but I'll tell you one thing. I love God more than I love my family. My mother, as much as I love her, will not come between me and God. She does not sit upon the iron throne of my life. I love my wife, and I'll do anything for her, but I promise you, she does not sit. There is only one relationship. You say, well, aren't we supposed to love our spouse? Aren't we supposed to love our parents? Absolutely. But here's the thing. When I love them more and I love God less, I actually love them less. But when I love God more and I love them less, I actually love them more than if I hadn't loved God. Can I get a witness out? Did you follow that? I love my family more by putting God first in my life. Amen, somebody. It's worth giving every allegiance to the King of Kings. He will never betray me. He will never leave me. Your friends may walk out on you, stab you in the back, and every last one of us knows the pain of a broken heart, but he is the one that mends that broken heart. You can cry on his shoulders. You want to know how much he loves you? He stretched out his hands on that old rugged cross and said, I'd rather die than live without you. Somebody ought to praise him for that relationship and put God on that throne and get so-and-so off of that throne. Now, if you don't know who that so-and-so is, see me after service. We'll try to figure it out. Amen. Number two, money and possessions. They try to occupy the iron throne. Man, we are a money-driven society. They had a song years ago, money, 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 right? Now, those of you that are 30 and around 30, you don't know what that's about. But anyway, money, money, money. It's all about money. I was reading a magazine a couple of years ago about the world's wealthiest people. Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. They said that Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, that his net worth, this is what it said in the magazine, his net worth, say that with me, net worth, was whatever, I don't know, 100 and some billion dollars. And I thought about, I read those words, net worth. Is that how we value people today? It's based on the money that you have? In other words, if you have this amount of money, you have this amount of worth. Your worth, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, your worth is not tied to the dollars in your bank account. I see that woman with two children and a single parent and having to work two jobs to put them through college. They may not have $113 billion, and they may not be on the cover of a magazine, but I promise you they've got worth before God. And we've got to get our minds off of the almighty dollar. Everybody's thinking about how much, boy, if I can just win the lottery. And I've told you before, I've preached it before, I go to Speedway and I'm in a hurry. I got the clock in at 10 o'clock, 9:45. And I only have 4 minutes buffer and I got a clock in and somebody's playing the lottery. And I'm telling you, it takes all the prayer in the world to keep me sanctified. I just want to say, please get a life, people. Come on here. Move out of the way. I got a real job. I'm going to make real money. I put real money in the offering plate and the tithes. And yes, I just bought a house with a swimming pool. Praise God, my wife works a good job. And I am not, it's not my net worth. Praise God, it's the value that I have in relationship that He sets on the throne of my life. Can you give Him praise here this morning? I heard about a man that was wandering in the woods, pondering the questions of life, the universe, his own problems. The man could not find any answer, so he sought help from God. God, God, are you there, God? He shouted, and God actually answered him and said, "What is it, my son?" He said, "I have a few questions. Do you mind if I ask?" "Go ahead, my son, ask anything." And the man said, "God, what is a million years to you?" God said, "A million years to me, son, is only 1 second." The man wondered. He said, "Well, God, how much is $1 million to you?" He said, "My son, $1 million to me is only 1 penny. The man got smart. He said, "Well, God, can I have $1 million if it's only 1 penny? Can I have $1 million? And God said, "Yes, my son, in a second." Some of you want it now, don't you? Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 22 through 23. Money and possessions. Getting things. Things, things, things. Money. If I can just win the lottery. If I can just get this. You know what's happened? That money has got on the iron throne of your heart. I've seen dads try to make more money to keep up with the Joneses and their family go crazy. Luke 18 and 22. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, this is him, a person who he's talking to, "You lack one thing, sell all you have, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was sorrow, for he was very rich. Now, let me just say one thing about this scripture. This does not always mean that when you get saved, you got to liquidate all your assets and can't have anything and give to the poor. But for this particular man, you see, God told him, "Hey, if you really love me, would you be willing to sell everything you have?" And the man basically said, "No, money and possessions will remain on the iron throne of my heart." And he went away sorrowful. And notice that words. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And he went away. He left the king. He left the one who should have the rightful rule over his life. I'll tell you, money is wonderful, and if we use it properly, but there are some things money can't buy, friend. Money can buy you a house, but not a home. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy a watch, but cannot buy you time on the day of wrath. Do you remember that scene in the movie Titanic? The Titanic is going out. I'm talking about the 1997 version Titanic. How many of you have seen it? And that last scene where the man is trying to pay to get on the lifeboat. If I had time, I'd show you the clip. And finally, the ship man, the guy that was trying to help everybody, threw the money in his face. How many of you remember that scene? I'll tell you, my friend, don't let money and possessions be the only thing that sits upon the throne of your heart. Number three, there is also recreation and entertainment that tries to occupy the throne of your heart. Let me tell you something. Recreation and entertainment is not bad in and of itself. There's nothing wrong to be refreshed, to unwind. You see, I'm old enough to remember when there were only three channels of TV. Channel 5, Channel 7, and Channel 11. Is anybody old enough to remember just three little snowy channels where you had to get the antenna just right? We got an old crowd here today. My goodness, pull out the oxygen tanks. We have got to, we're going to have to make it through some canes. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about me too, so I ain't talking about y'all. You know, three channels, that was it. And I remember when cable TV first came, we lived over there. We had just moved over there on Redmond Road, and they had a little box, and it had like 21 channels. Unbelievable. And one of those channels was music television, MTV. I was the original MTV generation. I watched every Joan Jett video, all those guys back then, Eddie Van Halen. I saw them on music videos. Aren't you glad God saved me? Me too. And then it went from 21 to 100 channels, and now we have, then it went to 300 channels, and now you cut the cord, the cable, and now you got the streaming apps, Netflix, Hulu, and then, boy, Netflix and Hulu was big back about 5 years ago, but now you've got Discovery Plus and CBS are now Paramount Plus and, Disney Plus, and I'll just tell you, it's like we have got entertainment and we've got recreation. We are so driven we live to watch the latest episodes and this, that, and the other, and there's nothing wrong with it in and of itself. But my friend, don't let entertainment keep you out of church. You don't need to sit at home during revival and watch some Netflix series, brother. It's not going to help your soul. You're not going to win people to the kingdom. We've got to be careful that we're not dazzled and deadened by the senses of this world. You know, Satan don't mind if you get saved, but the next thing, if he can keep you from getting saved, he'd rather you sit at home and plop in front of a TV and waste your valuable time when you could be out winning souls and being, listen, cut the TV off. Talk to your family. Pray with your family. Have some downtime where you just look at each other. I know this is radical and y'all looking at me like he has gone crazy, but that's all right. He's alive and he's worth talking about. He's worth cutting off the TV and the recreation and the entertainment for some time. We're entertaining ourselves to death, to be honest with you. We got it on tablets, iPhones, and everything. And if we're not careful, that thing can sit in the... let me tell you something. Be wowed by God. Be on fire for God. If you study how the miracles are and the power of God, brother, there ain't nothing on Netflix can compare with the walls of Jericho coming down. Nothing on Netflix or Hulu can compare with him walking on that water in the fourth watch of the night. Nothing in that book can compare that on that third day, that stone was rolled away and they could not find him, brother. There is God, and let him sit on your throne and be your entertainment and recreation. Can you give him a hand of praise? Come on now. They do it at the Oscars. I heard about this Coral Springs police 911 supervisor watched Netflix on a shooting call. This is a true story. There was more than a 30-minute delay of police being notified about the shooting. Because the 911, I come to find out, the 911, the reason there was delay in getting help was the 911 operator was logged onto Netflix and watching a Hillary Swank movie. There's no denying that 911 supervisor's life was ruled by entertainment. And think about the entertainment people. And they have souls, and I pray for them. But people like Miley Cyrus, and not trying to be derogatory, but I say this, if I had children, have a daughter, I do not want my daughter to be like Miley Cyrus. Period. End of story. That is not the way to go. Britney Spears, you know, I can just see her with a baseball bat beating the SUV. How many remember that a few years ago? Think about these entertainers. Some of y'all don't have no idea who Britney Spears is. I understand. But, I saw this, a rapper, Lil Nas X. Now, I may have pronounced that wrong. Lil Nas X. This is a rapper. He's producing 666 pairs of Nike shoes, and he's calling them Satan shoes. They've even got a human drop of blood in each one of those shoes. And the way he's introduced that shoes is in a music video where he's coming down a stripper's pole and he's giving Satan a lap dance. Now, this is entertainment. Now, I know this is the far end of the entertainment, but there's a lot of these guys from Hollywood. They just want to interject their political thoughts and all of this. And I'm tired of us sending our money and spending our time watching people who, listen, who are occupying a throne. Again, it's not wrong to have good, clean entertainment, but it is wrong when all of that is affecting your thinking. We are not to be of this world. We are to come out from among the world and be yourself. Because somebody in Hollywood does it, does not mean it is right. You better go back to this old black book, brother and sister. That's where, just because they do it on the young and restless, all it'll do is make you old and fitful. Number four, destructive habit. I'm going to get off entertainment because I could plow there a long time on that one. But number four, destructive habits try to occupy the throne of our hearts. What am I talking about? Drugs, alcohol, alcohol. Alcohol, I was reading not long ago, alcohol harms every part of your body. Drinking can lead to cancer, mouth and liver cancers. Alcohol can weaken your immune system. Here we are dealing with a worldwide pandemic, and alcohol weakens the immune system, and not one ABC store would dare be shut down, but every church must be shut down. But I'm telling you, friend, you've got to understand something, that alcohol, there are some people that alcohol, they've got to have a beer, got to have that drink, got to have that liquor, and they drink and they get inebriated, they get drunk, they can't think, and God forbid those who get behind the wheel and have taken lives. Why? Because alcohol has sit on the iron throne of that heart. God does not want you to be have a destructive. Listen, if you're on drugs this morning, get off of drugs, get clean. It's going to ruin your life, shorten your life, hurt you and hurt others. But there is a God who says if you'll take the iron, take the drugs off of that throne, take the put down the bottle, and God will help you. We've had some in this church that were strong in alcohol, but today they're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because the iron throne is now occupied by not somebody getting high, but by the Most High God. Can you say amen here this morning? Drug addiction's at an all-time high. These gods of drugs and alcoholism and entertainment, and then number five, self tries to. Now, boy, I preached all of that to get to these last two, so hang with me, and we're about done. But self tries to occupy the throne. Now, I see many people out there, they're like, drugs ain't nothing, alcohol, and I ain't worried about Netflix, and I ain't got this, that. But self is on the throne. Yeah, you, the man in the mirror. There was a phrase by Invictus, I'm the master of my fate and the captain of my soul. Well, guess what? You might be the captain of your soul, but you might as well call yourself the Titanic. Because it ain't going to be a matter of if, but when you're going to hit an iceberg and you're going down. If you're the captain of the soul, you need to get off the ship of self and get on the old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. You need to quit trying to call the shots and be Mr. Macho. You need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, oh Lord, I give that throne to you. You have the right to tell me what to do. You have the right to say yes to what I want and what I need and say no to what I want. Oh, you've got the right in my life. It's not going to be me that sits on the throne. It's going to be God that sits on the throne. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now I'm going to read that in a modern version. Sister Darnell doesn't have it. But it says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. There's a battle inside of us for that throne. And even when you're saved, doesn't stop when you get saved. We all struggle with temptation. You know what that is? That's a battle for the throne. We all are tempted. We are all in our flesh weak. And we've got to understand that if God is not on the throne of my heart, then self is up there. And when self is up there, it's not going to be pretty. Can I get a witness out there? Now, it may look good for a while. There's many people, self is on the throne, and they're advancing in careers, and they're making money. But something is not right, and something is missing. A young man graduated from high school and went to see his pastor. And he said, oh, pastor, I'm so excited. And the pastor said, well, son, what are you going to do now? He said, well, pastor, I'm going to go to college. The pastor realized that this young man still had self on the throne. He said, well, son, what next? Oh, pastor, I'm going to graduate from college and I guess I'll just get a job. The pastor said, well, what next? Well, I guess I'll get married and maybe have a family and have children. What next? Well, I guess we'll buy a house and I'll raise my kids and work at my job. Well, what next? Well, I guess I'll retire and let my kids, send my kids to school and enjoy retirement. What next? And it got very silent in there. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, because the answer to that what next is this. For as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. What next? What next? My friend, there's coming a day when self is going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And we better make sure that God is on the throne and not self. Oh, my friend, people talk about, well, I'm a good person. And you know what? You may be a good person. You may be a good person. There are many good people who give to charity, who donate their time, donate their money. But being good can be a form of pride. What do you mean? Here's the thing. I'm good. I helped the old ladies cross the street and I gave money to the Shriners fish fry. I'm certainly not Adolf Hitler. I'm certainly not Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm certainly not some wicked person. I'm a good person. And so you stand before God and God says, why should I let you in heaven? And here you come up and say, well, God, you know, everybody sins. You know, I'm a good person. I did this, that, the other. You know what's actually going on there? You're taking self to the throne. You know what's going to happen when I stand before God? I've preached for many times, and I promise you, since I was 15 years old, I have preached the gospel, and I have led people to the Lord. But when I stand before the Lord, Brother Ray, I'll tell you one thing. It won't be Ricky Nell standing up and say, hey, look at all those sermons I preached. Look at all the times I fasted. Look at all that money I gave. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, oh, God, I need you. And if it were not for you, I would be lost forever. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now, praise God, I'm found. Somebody say amen this morning. And then religion tries to occupy that throne. This is my last point here, religion. Religion. Well, if the drugs can't get on your throne, if TV can't get on the throne, if relationships can't get on the throne, then religion may try to get on the throne. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about false religions, like religions out in the world. Religions like Buddhism or Confucianism, Islam, yes, Muhammad, trying to get on the throne of people's hearts. And you say, well, are you against that? Let me tell you something, what Easter is all about. Let me tell you what Easter is all about. You see, all these other religions out there are basically this. Man's attempt to get to God. But let me tell you what Islam does. Let me tell you what Buddhism does. Let me tell you what Confucianism does. Let me tell you what all these other, Joseph Smith and these others. They are you cleaning up your act, you getting better, and you hoping when you stand before God you might get a good chance of getting into heaven and not going to hell. That's what all these religions are. They may look alike, they may sound alike, they may even be some differences. But let me tell you what Easter is all about. All religion is man trying to get to God, but Easter is about God trying to come down to man. That's a big difference right there. Because on 9/11, those 13 hijackers, they were celebrating. You could see video cameras of them celebrating because they knew that they would fly those planes and take thousands of lives. But they knew that they were earning their way to their God, Muhammad. But I'm here to tell you, you don't need to send sons to die in a plane to go to heaven. God sent His Son to die on a cross so that we could be in heaven. It's not what I've done. It's what He did on that cross 2,000 years ago. And here's what Easter's all about. So all these religions are like, well, why don't you be a Muslim? Why don't you be a Buddhist? Why don't you be, do you not love those people? Of course, God loves everyone. And I love anyone. I love a Muslim. I love a Buddhist. And I love anybody because God loves everybody. Amen. But the problem is this. When we die, we must have a reckoning. There must be a judgment. And if we die in the wrong religion, that's bad. Can I get a witness out there? You better make sure what religion you hook up on is going to be good for you. Can I get a witness out there? Well, why do you know that Christianity is the real thing and the others are not? Because of the empty tomb. Because Muhammad might have been a good man and a good teacher of good ideas on certain things. I didn't say he was good. I said he might have been. A Buddhist might have had one or two good ideas. But Buddha died. And that was it. Muhammad died. That was it. And Confucius died. Joseph Smith died. Jesus died. Friday, he was dead. He gave up the spirit. They laid him in that tomb. Saturday, he's still in that tomb. But Sunday morning, something happened. And the stone was rolled away. And they looked in that grave and the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? For he is not here. He is risen. Up from the grave he arose. What a mighty triumph over his foes. He lives forever. Hallelujah. That's my king. Shout it. That's my king. Hallelujah. You have your king if you want to. You let some boyfriend, a girlfriend, or some exes in Texas sit on your throne if you want to. You let some Hulu show keep you out of revival. You do that if you want to. But he's my king, praise God. He is my king, not myself. But that's my king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody say amen. Well, I don't believe he really rose from the dead. He didn't really die. He just passed out. You can't lose all that blood. Some of you can't lose a pint of blood without having a fainting spell. Let alone all that blood he lost. He died. He didn't just faint. He died. They said, well, they went to the wrong tomb. Those disciples were deceived. And that's what some of the people said. They said, hey, we went to the wrong tomb. Well, all they had to do is go to the right tomb and disprove it. But did they do it? No, because he wasn't there. Amen. And they said, well, the disciples stole the body. Are you kidding me? Just 36 hours before he was put in the tomb, here is this 300-pound fisherman named Peter, and some 12-year-old girl shakes him to his bones and says, you're one of them, and he loses his composure. And so this man, who a 12-year-old girl scared him, is going to stand up to 100 Roman legions who are by their own life have to seal that tomb, and it's going to steal the body. Do you understand that the tomb was guarded by 100 Roman soldiers? And yet the Bible says, for some reason, and they all fell asleep. You can't get all them guys to fall asleep and roll away that 1,000-pound stone. My God, his disciples didn't steal the body. God, he didn't have anybody steal his body. He took his body up from that grave and he arose. Well, maybe those disciples were hallucinating. Maybe they really wanted him to be alive. It's called the hallucination theory. And I could probably understand, you know, sometimes you can see things. Or I had never hallucinated. I just don't want y'all to get scared now. Say, what you been on, Pastor? But, you know, sometimes your mind plays tricks on you and you might think you see somebody that's really not there. And I can understand maybe one person hallucinating and saying he's alive. But I've never in recorded history, and scientists have yet to see more than one person hallucinate the same thing. You got some drug addict, they hallucinate, they see pink elephants. Another one over here is hallucinating and seeing yellow roses. But you rarely see, listen, that Bible says over 500 people They all hallucinated, quote unquote, and they all saw the resurrected Lord. Don't tell me he didn't rise from the dead. There is more proof that he rose from the dead. You can, in a court of law, you can get a verdict that he did rise. And if he rose from the dead, then he needs to sit on that iron throne of your life. Not a job, not a person, not a entertainment, not drugs. Give him your throne and let him occupy it. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I'm not here to play around. This is serious stuff. Hallelujah. I saw this quote. I was going to read it to you on Twitter. But before I read that quote, I remember a couple years ago, Rush Limbaugh made it, because Rush Limbaugh actually watched the series, and he commented that the ending to that series, Game of Thrones, was very bad. So a multitude of Game of Thrones fans who watched all 8 seasons, when they got to the final episode of the last season, there was outrage. As soon as the show was over, millions of fans got on internet, social media, and said, what a terrible ending it was. Now, I have not seen that series. I don't know what the big brouhaha was about it at the end. But I thought, you know what? That's exactly what's going to happen every time. When you try to put somebody on the throne of your heart, it's not going to end good. But if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, and there is one who is vying for the throne of your heart. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ has won the Game of Thrones. Can you lift your hands and praise him? Just give him praise this morning. I said every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Satan himself will one day bow at the Game of Thrones to the one. The question is, will you do it? Will you do it? You'll always be disappointed. That friend, that relationship, that series, that money, you will always be disappointed, just like those fans, until you let him sit upon that throne. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's very simple. Who's going to win the Game of Thrones in your life? Will it be alcohol? Will it be a relationship? Right now, I want you to make a very, very serious decision. And I want you to pray this prayer. Everybody pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want you to be on the throne of my heart. Forgive me. I repent. I've sinned. I've put other things and myself on the throne that belongs to you. I ask you today to come into my heart. Forgive me of every sin. I ask you today to be the Lord and King on my throne from this moment forever and forever. I am yours, not myself, but you are my King. Lift your hand if you prayed that, and you are my King. You are my King. I bow before you. I'll deny anything for you. If you say no, I will say yes to your no. I will say no, oh God, to anything you say no to. I will love you morning, noon, and night. I won't be a part-time. And hey, folks, if the King is on your throne, then you need to tell other people about it. Amen. We got a lot of Christians that are silent about the King. Let me tell you something about the King. He's a good King. Amen. And we need to, here's what I was going to tell you on the quote. If Jesus is dead, nothing matters. However, Pastor Steve Gaines of Bellevue Baptist says this. If Jesus is dead, nothing matters. But if Jesus is alive, nothing else matters more. He is risen from the dead. Let's sing. He is Lord. Sing that with me this morning, Pastor Jerry. Oh, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He's the King, and He is Lord. Make Him the King of your life. Every knee shall, every knee and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is. If He's your King, live like it. If He's your King, you need to be at the King's house, if you're able to. If He's your King, then He needs to have all of you. And that includes the pocketbook. Amen. If He's your King, then He needs to be worshipped and praised. One more time. Just lift your head and worship Him. He's a good King. We love You, Lord. You died for me. You died for me. And You are my King today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us on Easter Sunday at Westmoreland. We love you, Pastor Jerry and I. We love you as our people, our congregation. Have a great spring break. Darnell and I are going to take spring break this week. We will have church Wednesday night, but God bless you. Tell somebody this week about your King, and tell three people you're blessed and highly favored. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Thank you, Brother Adam. Just keep playing.